All right. Are you ready? Three. Ah. You don't have to count down anymore.
Sure, we do. So competitive still.
Let's be the same.
Just pour it out.
People used to think you two were twins. Now I know why.
There's a little foreshadowing there for this episode.
Mm-hmm, I'd say.
Okay, welcome everyone to another episode of Pewter Pints. I'm Jason, this is Dave, and today we have another new guest. Not a guest in this building, for sure, but someone who wears multiple hats in this business, primarily design lead, our mother, Mary Ellen. Welcome, Mom.
Thank you so much, Jason. I'm happy to be here with the two of you.
Yeah, now you finally figure out what we're doing all this time. Just hanging out here.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
although I do follow you.
Oh, there you go. So she watches and listens.
You bet.
Good. All right. So, Mom, we obviously know who you are, but why don't you give the listeners at home a little background information on you?
Okay.
On yourself.
So I'm the lady that most people reach out to when they have an idea that they want to do a renovation. And they pretty much know what they want, or they think they know what they want. And I go in and start the process with them.
All right. So I guess that's basically going to be the premise of this episode. We're going to talk about our processes, and basically, you know, this is the guideline to executing your dream renovation.
Wait, you forgot you're also the paywall.
Yes, I am.
CFO in the building as well.
Yes, which is very beneficial to the clients, actually, because in the long run, I keep everything in order.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
So, the beer review for today.
Yeah, we have an interesting one. Garrett came through once again. We got the Mill Street Pilsner this time. It's an organic beer again.
I got to say, this thing is stellar.
It's really good.
Let's... Tasting notes?
Ah, I forgot Garrett gave us a tasting sheet.
Does that mean we have to be detailed now?
No, I haven't even read it yet. So you can be detailed. I'm going to read it right now.
It's got 34 IBU.
What does that mean?
It's bitterness.
IBU. It's got even got an SKU and CSPC.
SKU is...
The skew.
Yeah.
Oh.
For the stores.
There you go. That was not, yeah, that's not, you know, important right now. But okay,
but
good.
It's a Pilsner. It's got a lot of flavor to it. I'm thoroughly enjoying this. It's probably the best beer I've tried from Mill Street so far. It's...
Other than the West Coast. I like the West Coast IPA, but this Pilsner is really good, too.
Yeah.
It's clean, it's refreshing.
It's got a lot of flavor to it. Got that bread kind of... yeastiness to it, but it's delicious. It's easy drinking. It's 5%, and I'd highly suggest checking this one out. This one's awesome.
Definitely. All right, Mom, what are you drinking? You're drinking wine because you don't drink beer.
I am like Amy, who is my predecessor here. She also drank wine, and that's what I'm here with. I've got a beautiful Chianti, and I believe it's from the special section at the liquor store.
Yep.
Vintage.
That's vintage, and it's Italian, of course, because we like to keep things all Italian in our family. But it's 2016.
Yeah. Chiantis are from Tuscany, right?
They come from different regions, but Chianti is...
Well, okay.
I haven't been to Italy. I'll have to go and check it out myself. At any rate, it's a 2016, and it's light and yummy, and I'm sure it would go with just about anything that we wanted to cook up in the kitchen.
I kind of feel bad for people. We make them come in here and do wine reviews, and
they've never had to do that before, ever.
I mean, professional.
Yeah, we expose ourselves to, you know, we put ourselves to a fire, and then we bring everybody else in, and we have to roast them as well. Yeah,
but we don't mind drinking it.
Exactly. So
that's the whole point. It's Friday, so let's have a drink and talk shop like we always do.
Okay.
So, to get started, I guess if we're going to talk about, you know, executing your dream renovation, the first person they typically talk to is you. And if they don't talk to you first, we end up telling them to go talk to you first anyways. So, Mom, where would you point them? Where, if, you know, fresh client comes in, where do they start with you?
Okay, so I've come to the realization that for me, the first and foremost thing that saves a whole lot of time is to meet the client on site. I come to the home, I have a look, I assess what they have as far as furniture goes, we talk about goals, dreams, and then we get into the nitty-gritty of design.
Right, so it's a lot like what Amy said. So, you know, start with a wish list, I guess.
Yeah, but for me, I mean, I could tell a lot of funny stories, but when I go into a home, I have a sense of what the home needs to move it forward, to bring it up to the year 2020. And also, we have a lot of detailed conversations at that point as to where they'd like this reno to land. Like, why are they doing it? What do they want to accomplish? So for me, it's all about the dream, the know what you want, and then aim to be very specific and making that come to fruition.
Okay. So do you determine budget in, when this happens?
For the most part, most of our clients don't even discuss budget in the beginning. It's me that will bring it up. And right. Then as you go through the process, they become comfortable with a budget. So if they say to me, you know, listen, Marilyn, we can't go over 100 grand. That's all there is to it. Then I aim for that. Mm-hmm. So I educate them. And that's, I think, the fair thing to do with clients right off the bat is give them an education right from the very beginning. What can you expect for $100,000?
Yeah, and I think that's the beauty of our process, right, where we've kind of come up with this system where it's just very quickly we get down to it. It's a spreadsheet. This is what you've spoken to us about. This is pretty damn close to what it's going to cost. How do you feel now?
Right.
And then if there's a big departure between where that number comes in at and where they actually want it to be, if we've had that conversation prior, we'll tailor it to it. Mm-hmm. But if we haven't had that conversation, it's like, well, here's your budget. Do we need to cost engineer? Where are we? And then, you know, that's when we start.
Ultimately, Dave, it's my job to make sure that their dream comes to fruition. So if they have, say, for example, the first thing out of their mouths is, I want to open up this wall. I need a new kitchen. I want to open up this wall. That's exactly where it starts, and that's where it ends. If the reno is something that, and most of them do, as you guys know, they develop along the way. So we'll quote for a kitchen and they say, well, while you're at it, you might as well look at the bathroom. And while you're at it, I hate the front door. And it goes on and on and on from there. Mm-hmm. And typically we end up opening up more walls and we shift walls. And you know, as you know, flooring changes, all kinds of things change. So therefore, usually the budget changes as well.
Yeah. Okay. If they have the room. Yeah
definitely. Yeah. All right, so then I guess it's, you know, it starts with everything you just said, and then we get more into the nitty-gritty of it, where we start talking about actual, you know, drawings, permits, stuff like that. So I guess, Dave, maybe you want to touch on that process.
Yeah, because that's quite the process. I know we spoke about this briefly. You know, it can easily be a 3 to 6 month process to get all the paperwork in order. You know, work with the professionals, like the engineers, the architects. You know, we put our general plan together and then we start aligning everybody and get all the resources together. And you know, it takes time to get everybody, right? Everybody has a different schedule.
Well, and in that time frame, David, while we have, as you know, designed the new space, so the layout of the space is predetermined, then I get into the nitty-gritty of it. Before the final quote is done, I've already searched for flooring. I've put together color packages. I give them a sense of what they're going to end up with the end. And that, I think, is what starts to make things comfortable for people. They start to understand that, okay, now I know what I'm going to get. And then when you give them the budget, they already are prepared for what they're going to end up with an end result.
Yeah. It really adds to the excitement of the experience, yeah. Right? Because it can be such a trying experience, but it can also be really fun.
It should be fun. It should be exciting.
Yeah. I mean, how many times do you get to go through this? Like most people are, you know, they put their nose down. They saved, they've worked, you know, developed these great careers, and this is their chance to really get to do something truly special for themselves, their family. And, you know, we go in and a lot of times it's like, well, what's the budget? And then there's this take, you know,
But the design phase is meant to be something that we guide them through. So it's my job to guide the client instead of them. For example, I've had people, you know, say to me, well, I want an all-white kitchen. And then they start looking at, when I bring them to the showroom, and they look at door samples, and they go, oh, this is a lovely color. This is white. And I'm like, no, it's not white, actually.
It's so, off-white.
Yeah, exactly.
This is bluey white. That's a yellowy, bluey, greeny white.
Oh, very good, Jason. You've been paying attention.
I have been.
So then it determines what kind of floor color we go to, and then the wall color, and then the fixture. So I have a really good time with my clients, because what I do is, after I've given them the preliminaries and put together, say, design package A, B, and C, then I take them shopping. And I knock down and we lock in every single material that's going to land on site.
I guess that makes sense. I mean, you have to pick the furniture as well to tie in the rest of the... To give the people the complete package that they want, they have to be able to see how their floors are going to tie in with their walls, with their furniture, yes, and their granite. And
absolutely.
So do you pick granite in absolutely the beginning phase too?
I pick everything. So the only time that we hold back is if, like, light fixtures, for sometimes it takes a little bit longer sometimes to pick light fixtures, because that's a very personal thing. It's like art. People say to me, will you pick my art for me? No. Not usually. I don't mind going with them, but that's a very personal thing. Mm-hmm. Everything else is pre-selected, so there's no surprises. They're not running around at the last minute saying, oh, I don't know what faucet I'm going to do, and I don't know what, you know, granite I'm going to have, and what about the handles on the cabinetry? No, that's all pre-selected.
Okay, so I guess it's safe to say that you determine floor plan with them first.
Yes.
Then Dave goes off and does our permit submissions and stuff like that, and while that's happening, you're still... you know, nailing down design features.
Yeah, and then the final, I mean, sometimes they know they're going to open up walls so Dave can start the process, mm-hmm, of getting the permits. But the final budget is usually tweaked a few times, and Dave knows that too. You both know that. We can get a quarter of a way through the design phase, and the client says, you know what, I fell in love with this 9-inch wide plank floor that you talked about in one of your podcasts, and it changes the budget. It changes, mm-hmm, where I need to go.
Yeah, so definitely.
The other thing too is we just finished last week's podcast was with Amy and, mm-hmm, kitchen design and stuff, but that's also a core component of this there whole equation. So, you know, I won't go into it because we dove into that pretty intensely last week. But maybe there's something that we missed and something that you want to add to it, or...
Well, I think this is why I like to go into the home, because most people, not all people, but most people like to incorporate the furniture that they have or some of it, you know, costs money to do these things. And the house, to me, always has a character. The house dictates what we can do to a certain degree. So at the end of the day, it's my job to make sure that they know where they're going. So for some clients, if they're taking a traditional home, which can be very shocking for some guys, and we're going to make it completely contemporary, which we have done before in the past, and it's going to mean all new furniture. And I have the great job of telling people, I'm sorry, you can't keep that chair, you can't keep that sofa, it doesn't go, right?
But my dad made this.
That's right.
It doesn't matter, it's going to the garage.
Yeah, that's right.
Or the basement.
So that's the thing. It's in that prep stage that I plant the seeds for where the end result is going to land these people. And when we get to the end, which we'll talk about later, there's a whole plan for that too.
Right. Okay, so now that the design portion is kind of complete, you know, we get our permits, construction starts, and then, you know, back in the beginning of this podcast, I said, you know, our mom wears multiple hats. So, mm-hmm, one of the hats that she ultimately wears, I like to think, is what's called, you know, client control.
Yeah.
And this is where, because, you know, after we rip apart their houses and construction is going on, there's dust everywhere, whether they live in the house or don't live in the house, it doesn't matter. People tend to, you know, their nerves start to act up.
Yes.
So, you know, what kind of tips can you give the homeowners to prepare themselves for a renovation of large magnitude or even small magnitude?
Right. Okay. So first thing is, people have certain expectations, and a lot of our clients are successful they're type A's, and lucky for them, I'm a type A, so I know exactly how they feel. I mean, you know, you guys know, I come on site and I have anxiety about halfway through the reno. It's like, oh, guys, man, you know, let's go.
Yeah.
And so I am kind of laughing with the clients going, I've got as much anxiety as you do. But the reality is, the most important thing, if I could give any message to the client, it would be, you have to trust the process. You've got to trust your contractor. You got to trust that the guys know what they're doing and that everything is falling into place as it should. It's also my job. I do a lot behind the scenes where I've ordered the flooring, you've ordered the drywall, we've ordered all these things that need to show up on site, and I have to make sure those orders are followed up. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of times, nobody's paying attention at the other end, at the supplier's end. It's sitting there and they forgot to call us that it's ready for pickup, this sort of thing. But the client has to realize that there is control from behind the scenes, there's control on site. And whenever you guys have a question or an issue, you pick up the phone and you ask me.
Yeah.
Or you ask your father. It depends on the nature of the problem. Clients, I have a lot of fun with the clients. So they will I've tell them all, you can email me 10 times a day. They'll call me. We go out for coffee. We go for lunch and wine. We do it whatever we have to get through. But if you breathe and you realize that there is a turning point in the reno, that it's awful for 2 to 3 weeks, and then it starts to come together and things are better.
Yeah, I think people tend to lose their mind until drywall.
Well, taping is like the, oh my God, there's nobody in my house. Right. Nothing's happening.
Yeah. Except
no, there's something happening, but it feels like nothing's happening and nobody else is allowed to be in the house because it's such a natural disaster occurred in the space. So the dust is at a maximum. You're at wit's end because it feels like nothing's happening and, you know, it's just about to start to get good.
Yeah, I mean, how many times have we had to explain to a client that no one's allowed in the house when the taper's there? Because the taper taping is such an art form and it really forms the finish of the house.
Yeah, and what, are we going to have guys stepping on top of each other? Like, the best thing for a taper is to have every room clean.
Yeah, so he can't trip on his stilts and stuff like that. Like,
let them go nice and quick. So clean up, get out of their way, let them paint their masterpiece.
Yeah, then when we start putting color back into the house, people start to, you know, start to smile again, I guess.
Yes, because at that point, they have spent a lot of money and they're wondering, A, what's it really going to look like? And B, do these people really know what they're doing? And C, have actually things been bought and paid for? So there's a sense of nervousness that kind of peaks at that point, and then it starts to get good.
Yeah,
but I must say, it's the projects where the construction, you know, we open things up and we really start to uncover issues. Mm-hmm. Those are the projects that tend to be more contentious for people.
Yes.
Right. That's when their patience is really tried and tested. You know, it's not us. We can't see through walls. We can't see, you know, we can have a general idea of what structure we think is there. And they're all educated guesses. But when you take it apart and you do an assessment at that point, the plan can change.
Yes,
and you
absolutely.
You have to have some sort of contingency budget set aside to handle that, because
which we do.
Well, the homeowners have to have it as well, right? Like, mm-hmm. We try to be as proactive as possible, imagining, you know, all the worst case scenarios. But I also can't charge you extra just because I think there might be something crazy lurking behind the walls. We formulate an idea, we price that idea, and if there is a differentiation between what we thought and priced and what's actually sitting there, you might have to bring in an engineer, right? You might have
that expectation. I think most people are better educated now. I think when we first started this, your father and I, like 30 years ago, people did not know as much as they do now. They watch the Property Brothers. They know that things crop up. And so I think people breathe a little bit easier now knowing that.
Yeah, I think we used to dislike the TV shows because we felt like it gave the people a false image of what renovating your house is like, and budget specifically. But I think now it's actually really starting to work in our favor.
Absolutely.
The shows are getting smarter. And
well, they've also changed the budgets too.
Yeah.
Right? Like, the brothers come back every, year and a half, 2 years, whatever it is. And it's funny watching a Toronto project on TV because it's like
three times the price of
it's like a little house and what's your budget? $150,000 and the people in the States are like, what are you talking about? My house is worth 90. Like, how is it $150,000 renovation? So it's good that them in particular, they really bounce around and, you know, kind of level the playing field and educate people on what these things actually cost.
It's an eye-opener.
Yeah.
But they also make it fun, and I think that's our job, too. It's our job to make it as painless as possible for people. And that, too, in this construction phase is a very, very important point because you need to be organized. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we don't look like we're organized when really we are. We know exactly what's coming, and we know who's coming, and they just have to allow us to let it happen.
The funniest, to harp on it again, but like that last episode of Property Brothers where like, you know, the schedule got pushed to the absolute maximum. Mm-hmm. It was a nightmare for us, right? We had everything going wrong. It took forever to get engineering back. Yeah. We're going to get Rocco on here and we're going to grill him about that.
Was the engineer?
Yeah. but essentially all, you know, red flags are going up left, right, and center. And, you know, the designer, one of the producers and the story producer, you know, they know us, they know what we're capable of.
Right.
And while everybody is, this was a new team that we were working with, like a new camera team that we were working with and a project organizer manager. And, you know, they're all sounding the alarm, like, they're not going to finish. And it's like, no, like, this is being planned out. And it was so funny because we had a filming date at one point in time. And, like, we should have been so much further along. And, you know, we waste a day prepping, doing the shoot, making sure that they have a productive on-site shot. And it was in the morning, and by the end of the day, everybody wrapped and we're out of there 12, 1 o'clock. By the end of the day, we had the place boarded. Mm-hmm. And, you know, nobody expected that. So I'm starting to get flack from the office and everybody's starting, oh my God, is this going to happen? Is this going to happen? And I started sending pictures that same day. And it's a completely different place than what they left earlier. And, you know, her pinion's lined up. Everybody's lined up, countertops, everything. This is all planned out. It's to the plan. We know what we have to do and we're going to execute it. Mm-hmm. And sure enough, we got it done in time, no problem.
So therefore, there was a level of trust.
There's a level of trust, yeah.
And you have to meet that expectation. And that's what we do for our clients. You can walk the walk or talk the talk, but you got to walk the walk.
Yeah, definitely.
And that's exactly what we do.
Okay. Yeah.
And we have fun when we do it.
Yeah, I mean, it can be fun.
Except for when I come on site and you guys all freak out.
We don't freak out. We just start acting a little bit more normal.
Like when's she leaving?
Yeah. Can we start acting crazy again? Okay. Okay, so that's great. You know, I think we landed, you know, the design process, the construction process. And I think there's a process that people tend to not really know about, and that's the post-construction process, right?
Yeah. There is something to be said about the service component of it afterwards.
Right, and I think this is where designers really end up shining and their work really comes out. You know, yeah, the house might look good with the floors in, the paint done, the trim done, but then the rest of it happens, right? So what happens typically with you, you know, at post-construction?
Okay, so in the beginning, when we're doing the planning, like I said previously, there's a lot of conversation about what the space ought to look like when they're done. What are they aiming for? So we've already gone shopping. We've looked at furniture. We've looked at art. We've looked at lamps and shades and carpets and all kinds of things. In the end, though, I always tell people, if they can, to pre-order the furniture. So when the construction phase is finished, we go in and we clean and I always tell people, just breathe. Just breathe for about a week, get used to your new space, and then call me.
Yeah.
And then we start. And anything that has been pre-ordered obviously will be delivered right away. And then they start getting comfortable in the space and they have to learn how to use their new appliances and they've got to learn how to actually meander through the new space because mm-hmm. it is typically what I tell people, a new house.
Yeah. The other thing too is, you know, we, for the most part, finished construction. It's 98%, 99%. We might be there plucking That's away, finishing up those little details. But, you know, live in the space. Get comfortable in it. And live with it. And you start to see, oh, I don't really like that. Or maybe we can change this a little bit. And, you know, that's all a part of our process, right? Where you get acquainted with the space. It's not like, hey, here's your move-in date. Give me my check and I'm out of here.
Right. No, we...
Right? It's...
Well, for the most part, we remain friends with a lot of our clients, as you know, but it's also the process of helping them afterwards, because you're right, things can go wrong when they start to learn to use things, or, you know, there's nothing is ever perfect in this world.
Yeah.
So we go back and we do service, and that's another level of confidence and trust that we have developed over the years with our clients. They know they can call us a year later and say, hey, I need you to come back because a bunch of things happened over in here, like the crown molding is pulled away, you know, because it's dry in here.
Or even beyond that.
Or even beyond the year, you mean? Yeah, of course.
The plug behind my TV isn't working anymore.
That's right. And it's your excuse to go back.
Before?
Yeah. Go spend, it was like 10 man hours. And the guy went to change a smoke detector and disconnected a part of the circuit. But I found it all for them, fixed it. And
yeah. No, we like to build relationships. And that's what we've done over the years. And we're very grateful for it. So anytime the client wants us to go back, we're there.
Yeah. Especially if they want to cook us dinner after.
Which they have.
Yeah, we will.
Well,
love more to oblige.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, it's all about building relationships with people. Yeah. We like building the house, something special, you know, truly indicative of the couple that we're building for.
Correct.
And, you know, getting to enjoy that space with the couple is always, you know, joyful. A bit of a magical experience it for is. Us. I don't think there's anything better than getting to go back to something that we've built. You know, one of those certified projects.
I'll never forget being invited back to one of our clients in Glen Abbey in Oakville, and they're having a party and they're in the backyard and I'm going through the whole house kind of like looking around at what I did 3 years ago, and everyone's like, where are you, Jay? And I'm like, sorry, just, you know, admiring how awesome we are. So,
you know. So modest, dude.
And I'd like, actually, at this point, to give a shout out to our previous clients who we have really been blessed with and we love to pieces, and we hope they're all safe and everybody's healthy and that we all get through the rest of this horrible time unscathed.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Imagine that.
Okay, so with that being said, thank you for listening and tuning in. We are Pewter, Dave, Jason, Mary
Mama
Ellen.
Mama Bear.
Mama Bear, yeah. remember, we are on Instagram at pewter.build. We're on, our website is pewter.build. So like and subscribe to the page. Check out the website. Check out the Instagram. Lots of cool content on there. Lots of updates of what we're doing. And
thank you, Mill Street.
Yep. Thank you very much.
Delicious.
The beer is delicious, as always. Thank you, Garrett. I guess.
Thanks for taking the time out of your day to watch it, guys. We appreciate it. So like
cheers.
And subscribe if you can. And
we're on all podcast formats as well.
Yes.
All platforms. So
yeah.
All right.
Cheers, guys.
Cheers.
Have a good weekend.
Thank you.